Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got filmmaker and actor Taylor Olson with me. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we're on Zoom. I didn't even mention that in the first, this is our second podcast. The first one was just an interview about Taylor and his film Bone Cage and how he came up as an actor and then started directing and made this amazing feature film Bone Cage that won 4 Grand Jury Awards at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2021, including Best Feature Film Drama, Best Actor in a Lead Role for Taylor, Best Performance by a Full Cast, of which you were a member, but amazing cast in this film, and Best Cinematography for his DOP, Kevin A. Frazier. So, Bone Cage is a kick-ass film. You should find a way to see it. And this episode's got of the podcast has nothing to do with that because this is the 4 questions with Taylor Olson. So Taylor is going to tell us, he's going to answer these 4, which are favorite films of all time with a soft limit of 3. Like I always joke that there's no one in a black and white striped shirt with a whistle, like who's going to stop you from naming a 4th if you must. And so favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. It's really just a fun excuse to talk movies. And I'm gonna shut up and let Taylor just go ahead, man.
Okay,
what are your favorites?
My favorites, I'll probably list 4, but There Will Be Blood by Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm giving him double thumbs up because There Will Be Blood is totally in my top 3.
PTA is my favorite filmmaker. Then my second favorite film would be Eighth Grade by Bo Burnham, who I just love Bo Burnham. And we talked before, I kind of love to sit on either side of the fence of drama and comedy. So that would be one of my comedy intros. But I mean, Eighth Grade also has a bunch of heart. And then Birdman, I'm a sucker for it because I come from a theater background. So Birdman's one of my favorite films. And then I really, I'm a huge Andrew Arnold fan as well. And so Fish Tank / American Honey got to give my 4th place of some of my favorite films for sure.
Wonderful. Fun list. And interesting because Bone Cage, you talked about how you did a lot of oneers, single shot takes. And Birdman is like,
yeah.
Birdman is the ultimate example where it feels, but it's so right.
Totally. Yeah. They did that. I can't even imagine how they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And interpretation of the ending, I'm just going to ask you, what's your view?
Oh,
does he go up or down?
I like to believe he flies, but only because she sees in him what he saw in himself for so long, and he does fly. So that's why I believe it. Yeah.
I love it. Well, I love your list. I mean, we could obviously discuss Paul Thomas Anderson and There Will Be Blood, which is what can I say? I'm a massive Coen Brothers fan since their films first came out when I was in high school. And when No Country for Old Men beat There Will Be Blood for Best Picture, I was screaming at the TV. I was like, how dare you? Like, yes, yeah. I wanted the Coen Brothers to get Best Picture someday, but not to beat There Will Be Blood, because that movie's just the greatest thing. Just the greatest.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's incredible.
I can even survive Paul Dano playing 2 parts, even though I wish they hadn't fired the other guy and had him do both.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know. Yeah. But it's funny because every single little like tidbit we talked about Bone Cage for so long, but that little thing is that I would watch a piece of that movie every single night before we shot the next day.
Oh, really? So you just like throw on some There Will Be Blood to inspire you to direct
the next day. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's rad. That's rad.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit of confidence boosting.
Hey, yeah. It works. Whatever works. All right. Well, question number 2 is a film that you could feel is underrated.
I think, actually like an easy one to throw out there that I think is underrated would actually be Eighth Grade. I think, it did well. It like did Sundance, one of the, of course, biggest film festivals in the world, but I still feel that, it hasn't sort of gotten its, like, I feel like in 10 years, people are going to go back and watch that movie and realize just how brilliant it was. That's just my opinion.
Well, now I'm going to confess something. It was during lockdown that I'm too old, right? So I just didn't know who Bo Burnham was. I'm just old. Right. So during lockdown, a filmmaker I really respect posted on Instagram. I think they said, the best film you're going to see, like the best cinematography, is actually this film Bo Burnham made in one room called Inside. So just watch it.
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah.
So I watched Inside. And I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter. So we did a deep dive and went backwards and watched every one of his specials before that. But I haven't seen Eighth Grade.
Oh yeah, you got to check it out. I think if you like Inside and you like this stuff, you'll love it. Yeah.
We watched Inside again because you tend to rewatch things with a kid, but she's not a kid anymore. She's a teen. But watching Inside a second time, why watch it without her the first time? And then I was like, okay, she was actually listening to the music. And I'm like, have you seen the film? Yeah. She's like, no. I'm like, well, fuck it, man. We're going to watch the film tonight.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is one of the best made. I just can't. That's just that is performance art. That's art.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I
think all right. Eighth grade. Might watch Eighth grade.
Another one I would say, for underrated would be Thunder Road by Jim Cummings, the feature. I think it's I don't know if you've seen that, but I think it's an amazing film. It won the Grand Jury Prize at South by Southwest, and then they self-distributed it because no one would pick it up. But I think that's an incredible movie.
You know, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. So I do sort of have the excuse that I watch so many films for the festival.
In fact,
I got to start watching films for Sherman Oaks. I've been lazy. I was going to start July 1st with the submissions for 2022, and I haven't yet. I got to dive into the Sherman Oaks submissions soon. But anyhow, okay, I'm gonna watch Eighth Grade and Thunder Road relatively soon. Question number three is a film that you feel is overrated.
Yeah, it's hard to say this about anyone who spent all this time making a movie, except for that. I think he has proved himself to be like not exactly a kind person would be Avatar by James Cameron. I think it just was like in the year that they did the Academy Awards that year. And it was, I just felt like it felt like it was a bit of a ripoff of other stories, including a ripoff of like, you know, it's also like problematic in that and how it portrays like colonization and acts like sort of the story of the like people were the colonizers coming in, and then, you know, it's a little problematic, and so I thought that was a bit overrated. It's funny to say when they've got all these movies coming out soon, but that's for sure.
Yeah, but you know what, I think Avatar is a fairly divisive film.
Yeah,
I haven't seen, I don't think I've seen it since I saw it first in theaters when it first came out. but yeah, also, you know, Cameron was trying to he was trying to honor indigenous people, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But did he succeed or not? And I think you're saying he didn't because...
I don't think so.
Yeah. And Lorno's Canada, what can I say? I call myself a Canadophile, you know, in our last podcast because I love all things Canada for some reason. But I have my friends up there. I have a friend up there who she's First Nation. And like just the fact that we have all these jackass lame terms for Native Americans and this and that, and then they still won't drop the word Indian. And up in Canada, it's just called First Nation. Like, hey, we were here first. Like, just I think you might have a baseline of more respect for Indigenous people then.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think we've unfortunately got a really terrible history of genocide here, like in
for
like
sure, but you call it genocide.
So, yeah, I guess that's a step forward. But you know, hopefully, we keep growing and learning, and people continue to be receptive to learning about like indigenous folks here and about like the language and the suppression of culture and start to you know, give space for the people whose land it really truly is. We're just occupying it.
Pretty much. But like you said, genocide, you know.
Exactly.
We made it ours, white people.
Exactly. Yeah.
What can you say? All right. Well, I'll drop that. But actually, I think I'm going to watch Avatar again with a kid anyway because of the new movie's coming out. So
that's right.
I will revisit it because I remember I was a bit, I'll confess, I was a bit of an Avatar defender. when it was out, because people would say the Pocahontas thing, and I'd say, yeah, I know, I'm so tired. When they would say, like, it's so derivative, and I would always say, yeah, I know, I'm so sick and tired of, like, paraplegic war veterans getting to live again through virtual reality.
Exactly.
Like that part of it was great for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the whole film was great.
No, that part was really fascinating. And honestly, when I first watched it when it came out, I loved it too. And I rewatched it this year, and that's when I went, oh, what? That's the movie I watched?
Yeah, see, that might happen. That might happen to me. I might be like, I might be very red-faced and thinking, oh, boy. Boy, did I not get it back.
That happens with so many films now, though, but that's okay. That's
oh, my God. It happens with so many things. I won't bother to say, because I can't remember it, but I was just thinking the other day of like, oh, yeah, that's not going to hold up at all if I rewatch that.
Yeah.
It's it was one of my favorite films of all time. Fine, I'll say it. With Nolan I. I was like, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't actually.
As a stage actor, you should actually try to watch With Noel, WITHNAIL and I. It's two actors in London who sneak out to get away from it all. They in 1969, I think, 68, 69. Okay. And they, two Shakespearean actors take off for and go out to the British countryside to stay in one of their uncle's cottages out in the countryside of England. And well, things happen there, and I was just thinking about it this week and thinking, oh man, I think that's probably homophobic.
Oh no. Yeah.
But when it came out in 1988, it was just brilliant. Might have been
right. Yeah.
So anyway, I will shut up, because now the last question for you to answer on this list of about films is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
I'll list a few. Maybe I'll do three if that's okay. Three small Canadian films. Firecrackers, great film out of Ontario. Really, really great film. Then I would say The Dirties. The Dirties at one Slam Dance in 2013 by Matt Johnson and Matt Miller. Great film, made on like $10,000. It's really, really clever filmmaking. And then Hello Destroyer by Kevin Funk, another great Canadian film. But those would be three that I would give a shout out right now that I can think of off the top of my head.
Very cool. Very cool. I have to say, I went to Slam Dance religiously in the late 90s. And I would always go out for Sundance, and like I cared more about the films that Slam Dance was showing. And I could name two films that I saw there that I just loved and wish had bigger releases. You know, they good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're good. So you want to tell people how to follow you and look up Bone Cage and whatnot?
Yeah. You can check out Bone Cage at Bone Cage Film on Instagram or Twitter. And then, on Instagram, I'm at Taylor C.P. Olson with two O's. And then on Twitter at Taylor Olson 1993.
All right, and now I will do my spiel at the end of the podcast, which is to ask everyone to give the podcast thumbs up, like it, 5 stars, subscribe, whatever. Just, you know, makes us feel good. You know, be nice. And I have no idea what I just said there. That sounded like the word SIRI. But anyway. My watch is acting up. All right, so, and Discover Indie Film, besides the podcast, there's also a companion TV series that is an anthology of short films handpicked from the festival circuit, basically just some of the best shorts I've seen over the years. Season 6 is going to come out this September, so if you go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, just rent it and enjoy the best self-financed stuff you're going to see. Just, you know, there's films that come out of Hollywood committees, and there's films that come out of people's hearts. I kind of like the ones that come from the heart. What can I say? So you can learn about Discover Indie Film if you go to discoverindiefilm.com, or you can go to @DIFWINS on social media. And I did mention at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival last year, that's where Taylor's film Bone Cage cleaned up the awards. You can learn more about that festival that we hold every November by going to shermanoaksff.com. and it's at Sherman Oaks FF on social media. And there is a June festival that I'm involved in. That's Film Invasion Los Angeles. And you can learn about that if you go to at Film Invasion LA, Film Invasion. Someone told me it sounded like evasion once when I did it too fast. I'm like, no, we're not trying to evade film. We're trying to... Right, so at filminvasionla.com. I'm sorry, at... I'm doubling them up. It's filminvasionla.com or at filminvasionla on social media. And before I start misspeaking some more, I'll thank Taylor Olson for doing this.
No, thank you. Thank you. It was really fun.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.